This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Former pro soccer goalie, pastor, author, speaker, Jesse Bradley. We like to get him on the show at least once a quarter because he always inspires us and makes us laugh. A father of four, goodness. And truth be told, Jesse reached out to me to ask about his March Madness bracket. So as he joins us from Seattle, why don't we start there, Jesse? How are you doing so far in your bracket?
I appreciate your advice. I went with North Carolina, and
nice.
Then I think I need Tennessee to make it to the Final Four. But basketball, I have to say, was my first love, and that was my dream to play pro basketball.
Ooh.
Ended up soccer was where I have more talent. Sometimes life has those unexpected twists and turns, but I enjoy watching, and we have a gathering. I went to Dartmouth, and this is a Dartmouth bracket pool. So it's fun to reconnect with people that way. And it's competitive. It's great. They give out some prizes. And my family has a lot of Dartmouth gear through this tournament. And we'll see how it plays out. But North Carolina is the team. I know UConn's the favorite. So I'm looking for an upset.
Are your kids into this? Because I know in my family, we do a big family bracket that now includes the husband. So we've got, I think, 11 of us in it.
It's more fun when it's the whole family. My kids, they don't follow college basketball that much. So they lean on me more. And then they get they pick up the action closer to the end, Final Four. And then when the prizes come, they're definitely on that. So they're all wearing Dartmouth shirts. They love the prizes. They love the championship game. But it takes them a while to warm up.
Even though it is March Madness and it's college basketball that's dominating right now, we recently did have the U.S. men's national team win the CONCACAF Nations League. What stands out about the latest national team performance?
We've won the last 3 years, and that's a strong performance for us. And for us to beat Mexico, and we won again, 2-0, that's 2-0. We beat them a lot, 2-0. That's our main rival. They're very strong. And we had a game in the semifinals against Jamaica, and we came out sluggish. I think we learned a lot from that. Sometimes when you have success, you get complacent. And I always feel like sports teaches us about life. And our team looked complacent. Jamaica scored right away, and then they had a strong defense. We didn't equalize until the very last minute of the game. Like, it was the final play, and we got an own goal from Jamaica. So we were fortunate to make it to the finals, and then we found our stride. Then everything was going. But the great teams have to learn how to win the struggles and when it's not coming naturally for you. And I think half the game is the mental game, and our team just wasn't sharp to begin with. And really, the U.S. overall has frequently, with the top teams, had to play from behind or defensive because it's new for us to be considered, you know, one of the top 10 in the world. And then when we face teams that aren't quite as skilled and experienced as us, we've got to figure out how to be aggressive and attack well, get early goals. And that's something that we're going to need to solidify because the World Cup's 2 years away.
Right.
And it's coming soon. We're excited about that. This is a great preparation. The team is stronger than we've been in many, many years. So there's a lot of upside here.
we've got the Olympics before that. And as you point out, the 22 World Cup was a good step for them, reaching the round of 16. And I know the Olympics may not have the same prestige as the World Cup, but how much does it matter that this group, which features guys coming from all different clubs, in fact, coming from different countries in some case, how much does it matter that they have more time together on the pitch?
Absolutely. It takes a while to build chemistry. We know that the most talented teams aren't always the ones that win the championships. So you got to figure out the roles, the relationships, the locker room, the leadership, and come together quickly. And when you think about the Olympics, we're going to start out in France against France. So we're not going to have a lot of time to get the engines going and figure things out. So the extra practice is important. And when you think about the youngest generation right now in our nation, this is the future for soccer and, of course, other sports, but we are very, very strong. When you think of youth soccer, how popular it is, the number of players we have now who play overseas and are able to play in the top leagues,
right?
There's just a lot of breakthroughs happening. MLS is getting stronger, and we have players getting signed at younger ages. If you were buying stock, you'd want to buy stock in soccer right now, because I think the next 10 years, the trajectory is heading the right direction. And the World Cup is a springboard, a lot of momentum. There is a little extra pressure for the team to do well, because when you host the World Cup, you want to make a strong showing. So I would say a goal for us would be to make it to the Elite Eight, the Final Eight in the World Cup. That would be the mark, I would say, in terms of if we do that, it's successful. And the home crowd's definitely an advantage. But there's a lot of passion for soccer right now. And that's when you see things take off. From an early age, they get the pictures of the professionals and they put in the time as well.
Jesse Bradley is that familiar voice. If you are a faithful listener to After Hours, you know him. He joins us from Seattle. Former pro soccer goalie, a pastor, an author. We enjoy picking his brain about all kinds of topics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This week, it's Holy Week, regardless of what religion or denomination of faith. Easter and Resurrection Sunday are such a big deal around the world, not just in the United States. How does this week work for your church?
It's an exciting week, a significant week. You know, when I was growing up, we gathered around in the neighborhood and we had an annual gathering, a huge egg hunt. You know, you have your seekers, your finders, and your hiders, all of that together, kickball, food, and it was just a big party. But when I was growing up, faith wasn't a part of my life. And then at Dartmouth, you know, where I played soccer, I was a psychology major, so all the mental health stuff, sports psychology is interesting. And then I took a religion class at Dartmouth, and that was the first time I wasn't seeking God, but I read the Bible and my eyes started to open up and a lot of questions. And I was like, Jesus was intriguing. And eventually I just looked at how he lived, his love, his light. And I was like, yeah, that's who I want to follow. So that was kind of my journey. I never expected to be a pastor. And then when I played pro soccer, I got sick eventually in Africa, fighting for my life for a year, 10 years to fully recover. And that's when faith really went deeper for me. And I ended up, you know, being a pastor too, now here in Seattle. But all that to say, you know, the spiritual, the emotional, the relational, the physical and sports, the mental aspect, there's a lot of interconnection there. And that was something I really learned as I developed as a player. And what's off the field and on the field are connected. I realized too, Amy, this is a topic where you've got listeners coming at it from all different angles.
Yes.
And for some people, they want to keep faith and sports as far apart as possible. And yet we live in that reality too, where, like, let's take last Super Bowl. You know, you had Brock Purdy, the quarterback, saying his identity is not football. It's not performance-based. And you had Patrick Mahomes saying the last couple of years he's really grown spiritually. So you have athletes who pray on the field. They'll have, let's say, a cross or a Bible verse. And even when you get to interviews, like C.J. Stroud recently, he shared his faith in an interview, and then the network cut that out. And some people love that. They're like, yes, don't let him say anything, you know? And others are like, what happened? How come you censored that? Like, that's inspiring. That's going to encourage people. So wide range of viewpoints, but I think it's a great topic to put on the table. And that's what I appreciate about you and your show too, Amy. It's like, you go there with, whether it's different sports, different personalities, controversial stuff. And it's like, this is a safe place to talk about it. It's like, we're all kicking back at Starbucks and, you know, sharing our journeys and just considering the different aspects for athletes. How many teams have chaplains?
Yes.
Like, why do teams have chaplains? Because they care about the mental health of players. And a lot of times mental health is connected to spiritual health, and they care about their lives off the field. So it's kind of a holistic perspective that a lot of teams have.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think many people may not realize that as much as sports and faith at times may seem like worlds apart, almost every team I know of has a chaplain for sports like NASCAR. I mean, they have prayer before they begin their races. They also have a non-denominational faith service on Sundays before races. And so it really is incorporated into a lot of sports, even if we don't necessarily see it.
That's right. And it's optional. You know, locker rooms and coaches try to figure out how do we walk through this together. For some teams, there'll be groups. Like when I became a Christian at Dartmouth, we had a little prayer group before the games. And some of the players on the team did that and some didn't. And we all got along. We respected each other, but it was an option. And for the people who were going, faith in some ways takes the pressure off. Athletes have a lot of pressure. How do you cope with pressure? And for some people, prayer is a part of that. Relaxing before the game, asking for some help. When I was a college pastor at University of Iowa, the Hawkeyes, shout out to the Big Ten. I would, you know, talk to the athletes before the games, and their women's basketball team right now, they're fun to watch. But guys on the football team, you know, like Dallas Clark was there, Aaron Campman was there, and it was cool to see these guys come in as freshmen and then just grow. I mean, physically they're growing, their skills are growing, but then just looking at the different parts of their life and as they were growing on campus and then NFL, and just to see, you know, okay, Aaron Campman, integrity, you know, in Green Bay, and his character is a big part of, you know, beyond just the field, but the impact in the community. So character counts, you know, who you are when no one's looking counts. And for a lot of guys, that foundation, when you feel secure, when you feel loved, you know, when you're connected, that's just going to help every part of your life, and then including on the field as well. So yeah, you see chaplains, different teams coming together, and some are more involved, some are less involved. But it should never be forced. It should never be weird or manipulative. I mean, we have freedom of religion in our country. To have teams that stay united and respect each other with the differences, but then let people flourish, you know, in this area of faith. Harvard did an interesting study. It was human flourishing. And they looked at people who are active in their faith. Hmm. And what they found is that people who are active in their faith, they have more generosity, they have more forgiveness, they have more happiness, they have a sense of purpose. So that was Harvard's report. You know, check that out if you're interested. I've seen that with kids too. Sometimes when kids know they're loved, yes, by their parents, yes, by their friends, and then, you know, a love from above, a love from God, that hits in a different way too. And kids have faced so much pressure these days, and there's so much comparison and social media, and there's sometimes slander and gossip, and they're sometimes going to be insecure. And just when you know you're loved, that is powerful. Nothing's more powerful than love. I sincerely had a performance-based identity, and I didn't even realize it. Hmm. And a lot of athletes go into that. And who you are is not what you do. There's a difference. And when you have a performance-based identity, you often feel measured or measure yourself on how well you do. And it can lead to pride and shame, kind of a cruel roller coaster. It can lead to inflated and deflated. And when you step out of that and you know you're loved and secure, it's not based on performance. It's like you're set free. And I didn't realize it until my career ended. Soccer was gone. I couldn't get good grades. I wasn't going to an Ivy League school anymore. I wasn't playing pro sports. There was no stadium. There was no one cheering. And now I just had to wrestle with, well, who am I? And what is my identity? And that's when I felt like my house was on the sand and I needed to shift. And it was like, no, my house needs to be on a rock and it won't be attached to performance. That'll be a trap. So mental health, there's a lot more attention, appreciation. There's a lot more compassion around athletes, mental health. And along those lines, kind of mental health, spiritual health is considered as well. And I think we need to be in a supportive position to help people in all the different dynamics of life. And we are complex. Life is complex, but it's important to build people up.
Right? We've got teams all over the country that carry psychologists or that employ people who are counselors and can work with athletes on that side of their craft too, because it isn't just the physical, the mind, the body, the spirit, all of that together.
Absolutely. And you know, when I was growing up, I felt like there's a little more stigmatism or even shame if you went to a counselor, and that should never be the case. There's no shame. And right now it's a little more common, which is a real positive, that if you're seeing a counselor to process through life, to figure out your emotions, I didn't have the skills to identify them, to talk about them, to work through the challenges in life and process that. And where do you get that? Because sometimes your parents will help you to some degree, but also in school, you don't really get that. A coach might not provide that. So where are athletes going to get that? And it's broader beyond athletes. Like, where do we go to process through our deep disappointment when we feel despair, when we feel so alone, we don't feel understood, when we have feelings of anger or we think we want to get revenge? Like, how do you forgive someone? These are deep questions that are attached to our soul and our well-being and our mindset. And I didn't have the answers. I didn't have the coping skills. And when I went through that tragedy and my illness, I had to learn some new coping skills. My approach was be determined, just persevere. Athletes don't present weak. You present strong. I didn't know how to let people in. I didn't even think anyone wanted to come in to those areas of my life that were kind of confusing or dark or discouraging. But I had to learn to receive love and from people, learn to let God in, receive love there. And there was a healing process. And what I discovered is there's other options for coping with those things. And when you look at the youngest generation right now and how common suicide is, UCLA shared that with high school students, there's a quarter of the students are considering suicide. Studies that show, you know, we're up to about 9 hours a day on the phone and that much screen time and what that does to us on the inside, like, there's a lot of struggles right now. And if we don't provide help, if we don't say, here's some counselors, it helps kids and students to talk through it. Sometimes the athlete gets cheered if they perform well on the field, but who's going to care for the one that's maybe not starting? Or who's going to care for the star athlete who's actually hurting inside and not telling anyone? And we need to go there and have those conversations, provide those resources. And I call it a gritty gratitude, learning how to give thanks and be thankful even when we don't feel like it. I didn't know how to crawl out of some of those holes, and my mind would be on a ditch. And I say for all of us, there's an outside story and an inside story. The outside story is what people see, but the inside story is what you know. It's the more important story. And that's the area where we need healing and health and encouragement. And we all need it. And I say we need each other, and we got to do it together.
Jesse Bradley's a former pro soccer goalie, and we had him on the show not that long ago to talk about another book that he's released called The Power of the Second Thought, How to Live with Indestructible Hope. And certainly that's key for people and many people searching for that in the United States and around the world, not just this time of the year, but always. So you can find more on his Twitter. But before we let you go, Jesse, you and I have something else in common, kind of. I'm running a half marathon Easter weekend, Saturday, which was great planning on my part. And you are running your first ever marathon. Why would you do that?
No kidding. I don't like running. I really don't enjoy it. And I like it that you're running as well. Hope is a theme. Hope is a theme with Easter. You know, you think about what we celebrate if you're a Christian, and death is not the end of the story for us. So that's powerful. But hope is also a reason I'm running. And clean water for kids, moving my feet, just a couple things to think about. I'll close with this. There's a billion people on this planet without access to clean water. Mm. So that's one. There's a billion people. Second, in developing world, kids walk 6 miles a day and they fetch dirty water, and their water source is shared with animals. And right now, today, 1,000 kids die every day due to lack of access to clean water. So those are some realities. And when I learned about those, I ran 2 half marathons, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to go a little further. So this is a stretch for me. I'm trying to do it with the least amount of training as possible.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, on the hope side, we can totally change this narrative. And this decade, we have the resources to provide clean water for all the kids. And Africa is close to my heart because I lived in Zimbabwe. Like, there's stuff we can do together. And this is no fundraising plug at all. I'm just saying, keep taking a look around locally and globally, finding needs, and then finding something you can do. And this is a decade right now where the world situation around clean water can totally change, and we can be a part of that, saving lives. So that's why I'm doing it. My son, my daughter, and my wife are also doing a half marathon. So we do a little training together, doing it as a family. So keep moving those feet, Amy. I appreciate you. Like, I think, you know, you have so many people who listen closely to your show, and they just know you, your character. They know what you're all about and how you just inspire people. And you bring conversations that are insightful, and you dive deep into sports, but you also, you care about people, and you cover topics about life that are so relevant too. So thank you for all you do. Really want to say that. And if you haven't shared your appreciation and love with Amy recently, send her a message on Twitter tonight. Let her know.
You can find Jesse on Twitter at Jesse J. Bradley, a former pro soccer goalie. Of course, we'll talk to him as the U.S. teams get back into action for Olympics and World Cup. But he's got a couple books out there, including The Power of the Second Thought. He's a pastor, so a big weekend at his church in Seattle. It's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the frank conversation, Jesse.
I love our conversations, time together, and I appreciate CBS Sports for all they do as well. So keep up the good work, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.